Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers.
This is Henry Migala with East County Magazine, here with Meshkan Afshan, who's running for one of the two seats on the La Mesa City Council. Daughter of Afghan refugees, Meshkan has lived in La Mesa for over 30 years. She's the daughter of lifelong union members. Both her parents were lifelong union members. She's a lifelong Democrat and a civil rights leader. Welcome, Meshkan.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me, Henry.
Thank you for making time to join us. So tell our viewers and our listeners, because this will be both on our website and on our radio station, tell our viewers and listeners a little bit about your background. How did you get here and what motivated you? What's your motivation for running for the city council?
Sure. Those are great questions. My name is Meshkan Afshan, as you mentioned, and I grew up here in La Mesa. I went to La Mesa Middle School. I went to Helix High School. I attended Grossmont College, where I was the speech and debate captain on the forensics team, and then transferred to San Francisco State University. I have had a long a professional experience working in democratic politics as well as civil rights work. And that led me to become a civil rights activist and advocate. And in 2020, I was one of many legal observers that were present on the May 30th protest that unraveled here in La Mesa. And so I decided to In that experience, I decided that it was important for me to get involved and to start participating in helping all of our community members from different backgrounds be able to reach and engage with their community representatives.
You founded several organizations. You've been actively involved in your community. You're the founder of Borderlands for Equity. Tell me what that is and what it's about, what its mission and what you do.
So I'm the co-founder of Borderlands for Equity with Suzanne Arani, who's a civil rights attorney, and I am the public policy and advocacy portion arm of our organization. We are a pro bono civil rights nonprofit based in La Mesa, the only pro bono civil rights nonprofit in East County, and we help represent those that have been discriminated against on the basis of race, religion, gender, ethnicity, and sexual orientation. And it's really important for me and our community members to have somebody show up and continue to help our most marginalized community members.
You also founded the East County Justice Coalition. Can you tell me a little bit about the East County Justice Coalition, what your mission is and what your accomplishments have been?
So the East County Justice Coalition was born out of a need to address the bullying concerns and the bullying that was happening in East County that was being directed towards our brown and our black and Muslim community members. There are so many refugees and immigrants, and of course, black and brown community members that are continuing to be targeted by bullies in East County. And we founded that to be able to push back against what's happening and making sure we show up in with faith leaders and other organizational, other organizations that can be able to show up and stand for against injustice.
So are your programs in the schools?
No, what we do is make sure to engage with folks when something's happened. We want to make sure that we engage with folks and they know there's someone that they can come to and share what has already happened and make sure we're advocating for them at whatever level that they have experienced that discrimination. Sometimes it's dealing with law enforcement. Sometimes it's dealing with the school district, depending on the situation. We do what we think is appropriate.
Good. Thank you for that. I went through your website about your candidacy and I looked at some of your priorities for running for city council, including police reform, equitable housing, addressing the homelessness issue, and environmental justice. You mentioned that you were one of the observers at that May 30th event. La Mesa experienced this social unrest and the riot and arson. As an observer, what do you see? What did you see as the underlying cause of that unrest?
So the May 30th event happened during the pandemic in May 30th of 2020. And it was important to make sure What we saw was a lot of people that are disillusioned and disengaged from the community and lack the opportunity to be able to engage with their civic leaders and making sure that we're civically engaged with the process happening in our communities. Another issue that we faced was the targeting of young Black and Brown people who are in our communities. And again, when you have a lack of civic engagement, when you have a lack of opportunities for discussion and dialogue around the difficulties that our community members are facing, that will increase, you know, unrest, that will increase affect our Black and Brown communities disproportionately. And it's important. Everybody needs to feel safe. All of us deserve to thrive and live in La Mesa and East County. And we deserve to have the opportunity to also feel like we're being protected and not targeted in our own communities. And so that is an integral piece of our community and an integral piece of our campaign, because we want to create a more equitable future together. And we think and we know that our equitable policy platform will help us achieve some of the inequities that we've been facing as a community.
You know, after the riots, we went into a 2-year lockdown as if everything was put on hold for a while. And now we're coming out of the pandemic. There was a lot of work done on the police department and police community relations and the oversight committee. Do you think the police department is reformed? If not, what else needs to be done?
I think that the changes that have taken place are positive changes. Chief Sweeney has done a wonderful job hearing our community concerns out and addressing the changes that we've been requesting and engaging with the community in a meaningful and different ways. I also think it's important for us to continue to allow people to be civically engaged in La Mesa and participating on the police oversight board, because the police oversight board helps everybody in our community, including our police department, do the best that we can and be better. And one of the ways we can be able to continue that and making sure it stays and it stays alive and it stays active is that we ensure the ability of an independent auditor to continue to hold our officers accountable that are not doing the right thing. And we're not saying every officer is responsible for the bad actions of an individual that's acted out of protocol, but we need to make sure that those ways we can be able to hold accountable and really all of our law enforcement accountable is really important, because we want everybody in the community to stay safe, and we want to make sure that we address the community safety as a whole. And that's the only way that could happen is when we make sure that we can show up and we continue to have a community engagement with the police oversight board and continue support of it, and as well as making sure we have an independent auditor to hold those folks that are not acting within their protocol and their procedures accountable for their actions.
We're all coming out of this pandemic after being closed down for a couple of years. It's almost as if we're rebuilding the pieces that define our community. And one of the first social events that happened in La Mesa was the Juneteenth celebration. Did you attend that?
Yes, I did. We were tabling at the event, and it was a wonderful celebration that brought out over 1,500 community members. And it was such a beautiful day. The weather was lovely. And I think we need more reasons to come out and celebrate our diversity and thrive with one another. And Juneteenth is a wonderful way of which we can remember our African-American sibling struggles, as well as the diversity that is now really a beautiful fabric of our La Mesa and East County community.
You went on to talk a little bit about equitable housing and homelessness, which is a huge issue, of course, East County, San Diego, everywhere. How would you address homelessness as a council member?
So homelessness is a huge issue. And, you know, we have an ongoing issue and it's not going anywhere. And not just in La Mesa, but all over East County and San Diego County in California. One of the ways we can be able to address this issue is making sure we have equitable access to affordable housing. No matter how many buildings you build, if you do not have equitable housing access, how are people that are making less than $80,000 or $75,000 able to, you know, get get into these places and make sure we secure housing for them and that we don't create a bigger problem with creating more houselessness in our community. And also making sure that we expand programs like the home program that exists here in La Mesa and was begun here in La Mesa as a pilot program to make sure we're expanding mental health resources and facilities, resources for the people who are suffering the most and that are marginalized in our community. And eventually we need to be able to make sure we have some type of shelter for our houseless community so they can get off the streets and we can make sure that they are not harmful towards themselves or to anybody else. Because as we learned in the pandemic, you know, the pandemic showed us that you don't have to have had COVID to be affected by it. So making sure you're taking care of your neighbors and making sure that there's folks on the street that get the resources that they need is a critical piece of making sure we improve the quality of life for everybody in La Mesa. And that's why we want to be able to make sure to support this equitable policy platform so that we can help all aspects of those marginalized in our community.
You know, many people talk about one of the answers for homelessness is building more houses. And I think I even read today that the county approved 10,000 more units. So what's your view on the appropriate scale, height, and density for housing projects in La Mesa? I mean, should we be able to go to high-rise apartments and high-rise low-income housing? Or what's your view on scale, height, and density of housing?
So regardless of how people view housing, we have an issue across the state and not just in La Mesa. We have way more people than there is places for them to live. And that's not just a problem in La Mesa. That's a everybody that is living issue. And we're not going to address that problem by, you know, pushing everybody out until they all live in Arizona. That just doesn't work. You know, as a community that continues to grow, you know, create families and expand, we want our community members to stay in La Mesa. And that requires us building new homes. We already have 7 to 8 developments underway in La Mesa. And so we know that those developments are going to be able to at least ease a little bit of the pressure that's happening here in our corner of the county. But more importantly, it's not enough. We have to be able to build more housing and making sure that we are able to keep the integrity of La Mesa and at the same time, making sure we place these homes and these developments in areas that can withstand the size that they have. You know, I don't have an exact rule like everybody has to have only 5-story buildings or that's not something that, you know, I've made a hard and fast decision on, depending on where it is located, depending on what the actual lot is and where it's placed in the city of La Mesa will make a difference. Is it close to public transportation? Is it close to major schools or intersections? These are things that do make an influence on any decision. And I look forward to making this decision with my council members and our mayor to be able to provide housing for those that have been struggling. You know, I know a lot of people that, especially during the pandemic, had to move in with family members because either their housing was insecure or they wanted to be able to save while they were struggling through the pandemic. These are things that are affecting at all levels. They're affecting all levels of our community in La Mesa, and we cannot turn a blind eye to them. So making sure we create more housing, more affordable housing, and making sure that housing accessibility is supported by the city of La Mesa is a concern for me, and also protecting tenants' rights throughout this process is a very important process as well.
You kind of alluded to this, and it's a good segue. How do you balance the need for more homes versus a concern over parking, community character, and preserving the charm of the historic downtown district and all of La Mesa? How do you balance that?
Well, you know, there's more of La Mesa than just our downtown, beautiful La Mesa Village area. And I grew up, you know, not too far, just a few blocks away from La Mesa Village. I live less than 5 minutes away from the La Mesa Village right now. And I think it's important to know that the people who are wanting to keep the integrity of La Mesa, they're not coming from a malicious place. Nobody here is coming from an ugly, malicious place. we want homes and we want a community that is reflective of where we've lived and where we've, where many of us have grown up. And we want to continue to provide that for the children and the families that we have that continue to move here and that are growing up here as we speak. So maintaining the integrity and character is a little bit different than addressing the housing needs, because it's not like we're going to take our grandchildren and have them live in the streets. We want them to be able to grow up, and we want our nieces and nephews and, you know, brothers and sisters to be able to have housing in the city that they want to live in. And so in that regard, we definitely want to absolutely support more development of affordable housing and trying to maintain the character of La Mesa in the style that we can always improve something that we have that exists. There's no need for us to go backwards in time. We can be able to improve on what we have and make it accessible to all of our community's needs.
Good. You also mentioned environmental justice as one of your priorities. Where do you see climate action as a priority for the La Mesa City Council?
Oh, climate action is integral to our quality of life across the board. When it comes to pollution, when it comes to air quality, when it comes to, you know, longevity, I want all of our community members, including my own family, to live as long as we can and is the best in the best ways in which we can. And that requires making sure to fulfill our climate action plan. Our requirements for the city of La Mesa are only here to be able to live up to and be able to abide by the statewide implementation of climate action goals that we have as a state of California. And our state governor, you know, Governor Gavin Newsom, has really led the country when it comes to making sure we can lessen our carbon footprint and making sure we can be able to provide for and improve the quality of life of our community members. Climate Action Plan is integral to what we do in terms of civil rights too, because many people don't realize that the climate justice activists have always been trying to point and trying to put everybody's attention on the fact that climate crisis affects our Black and Brown and marginalized community members disproportionately. And so if we can be able to make a greener and cleaner La Mesa and make it more sustainable, we have a better environment, not just for ourselves, but for the future generations that will live here. And I don't think anybody is against that. I think folks genuinely want to live a long life that's healthy and make sure that their communities are cleaner and greener and more sustainable for the generations to come, because people want to make sure to leave this place better than we found it.
You mentioned on your website you want to improve the La Mesa Climate Action Plan. What do you mean by improve it? What needs improving?
So there's so many suggestions that we can be able to implement that we haven't been able to yet. Something like using gray water. You know, we live in a drought. I mean, yeah, we're living within a drought. We have a climate crisis, and the place that we live in is essentially a desert. Why can't we be able to use gray water, you know, the water that you use in your home after you wash some fruits and vegetables or take a shower? Why can't we use that for other ways, like watering our plants or making sure to use them to be able to water trees in our community? This is a huge benefit. It's a boon, and we could be able to recycle that water and use it for our community. If we don't address these concerns, we will continue regardless to experience these power outages, these brownouts, as I was mentioning to you before the call, and the things that are happening in our community, like these heat waves that so many unfortunately have either suffered from or in the most extreme cases died from. We need to be able to address these concerns, and the Climate Action Plan needs to be implemented, and the suggestions of the Climate Action Plan need to be implemented, and things that we haven't done yet, like gray water, can be implemented, and be also, of course, expand our solar panel usage and hopefully the continued electrification of homes and appliances, so people don't have to suffer as much these climate crisis concerns that we've been facing recently. I mean, we are truly at a turning point in our country, and we need to be able to, as a community in La Mesa, not just fulfill our bare minimum goals, but hopefully be able to go above and beyond and meet the goals of the state of California, where we all can be able to improve our environment drastically and lessen the footprint.
You mentioned on your site also finding and creating a permanent site for the library and a technology and arts hub. How would you fund a permanent library and technology and arts hub?
So the permanent library, we have a library that's not permanent, and there is fundings that we have received from COVID-19 pandemic fundings, whether it's the CARES Act or other fundings that have come to the city of La Mesa that still are providing monies for supporting programs. One of the things that we had many, many years ago, I think it was made more than 50 years ago, the library that I grew up attending and being able to go with my sisters to used to be located at where the present day police department is on University Avenue. And so that library was actually connected to a theater and a gallery, and that was a long time ago. So why can't we have nice things? You know, Henry, it's important for our community to have a permanent place for children to come and be able to read their books. That was one of the most fundamental pieces of my childhood that I loved and my sisters loved, and the children now deserve it. They don't have to be my children. All the kids in our community can and should be able to benefit from a permanent library, and make sure that we have a technology center to help all of our community members that need brushing up on their skills or support when it comes to learning new technologies. And it will be such a blessing for all of our community members to connect with at that level. And I think that the monies that have been set aside for, you know, supporting businesses and supporting our arts programs should be also used towards making sure we have a permanent library located here in La Mesa, in the heart of La Mesa, and make it central for all our folks to be able to attend and to utilize, because our community deserves a public permanent library and deserves a technology center. You know, there is no technology center that is available in this way anywhere in East County, if you can believe that. And it is outrageous. You know, maybe there are some schools like Grossmont College or maybe connected to Cuyamaca College that have a technology center, but that's not a dedicated space for our regular citizens that are not community college students. So we want to make sure to make these things accessible and available to our community members and residents.
We're getting close to our time. Is there anything that we didn't talk about that you would like your the residents of La Mesa to know about you and your campaign?
Yes, I just want to say thank you so much for having me again. And, this is a very critical moment for our community and making sure we create an equitable future together. You know, our equitable policy platform was created with our, not just our community members that are alive now, but for our community members who have been yet to be born. There are so many people and so many families here that have yet to be able to engage in meaningful ways with our city. And I truly believe when we increase engagement and civic opportunities, we also are able to create a more equitable life and improve our quality of life across the board. And I can't do that by myself. So I would love the support of our community members. And if you would like to be able to support our campaign, please visit our website at www.votemejgan.com or follow us on social media on Facebook as well as Instagram. And please feel free to donate to our campaign. And I just got a call before, I just got an email before I got on the call with you today from Congresswoman Sarah Jacobs that just endorsed our campaign. And so I'm so thankful to her, as well as, of course, Supervisor Nathan Fletcher and Council Member Sean Elu Rivera and Council Member Jack Hsu for endorsing our campaign and really believing in our purpose and our campaign and what we can achieve in the coming election and hopefully the next 4 years.
You kind of took away a couple of my last questions. I was going to ask you, are there any most significant endorsements you wanted to highlight to share with people?
I can read your mind, Henry.
That's good. No. So I don't know, in addition to those that you mentioned from Sarah Jacobs and Councilman Hsu, are there other endorsements? Anything else you want to share?
We've also been endorsed by Supervisor Nora Vargas, as well as a council member from Lemon Grove, Jennifer Mendoza, and Commander, and also former candidate Dave Myers. And I'm so thankful to all the folks that have endorsed our campaign and that continue to show up for our campaign and truly believe in the work that we do. And most importantly, we've also been endorsed by the San Diego County Democratic Party, as well as the San Diego County Labor Council, and Unite Here and IBEW 569. So thank you to them, as well as the San Diego Women's Democratic Club, for their endorsement of our campaign and their belief in us.
I know you mentioned it already, but I want to give you one last chance. So if people wanted to find out more about you or volunteer for your candidacy or donate, can you share with people how they can find out more or do more?
Absolutely. As I said, please visit us at votemejgan.com. It's www.votemejgan.com. And it's exactly the same handle for Facebook and Instagram. Just visit us on Vote Mejgan. And we would love to be able to have your support, whether it be volunteering to Canvas, to phone bank, or to donate. We would love your support and be able to see you out here helping us create a more equitable future together.
Mejgan, you've been very gracious with your time. Thank you for making time for us. Thank you for spending the afternoon and sharing your thoughts and visions. Thank you for your interest in public service. And good luck. And we'll see you. Maybe we'll talk to you again after the election.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you, Henry. And I thank you to East County Magazine for having me and our candidates in this race. It's critical that everybody votes. And before I go, I just want to make sure that everybody knows we have our mail-in ballots that should be arriving by October 10th. And make sure to make your vote. And there's two seats available. Please vote our Democratic slate. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mejgan.